Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
My guest on today's Edgewise is Dr. William A. Cohen. He is actually a retired Major General from the United States Air Force. Currently, he's president of the California Institute of Advanced Management. His latest book is The Practical Drucker. It's published by AMACOM, which is a division of the American Management Association. Dr. Cohen, thanks for joining us on Edgewise today.
Thank you. It's my privilege, and I hope it's going to be my pleasure, too.
First question. Peter Drucker is known worldwide as the father of modern management. Now, I know that you've written several books about Drucker, including your new book, The Practical Drucker. How did you know Peter Drucker, and how did you happen to begin writing about him?
Well, you know, unfortunately, this is a long story, but I'll try to keep it as short as I can. When I went to interview the dean of this new doctoral program that started at Claremont Graduate University, I had never heard of Claremont. I'm not from California or from the Los Angeles area, actually a very famous old school. California was famous for diploma mills and so forth. So I interviewed with the dean, and during the course of our conversation, he said, of course, we'll want you to take some courses with Peter Drucker. Now, I knew who Peter Drucker was for sure, but I didn't know he was in this little town in this school in Claremont, California. So I was a little embarrassed. I was trying to figure out a tactful way to ask the question. And finally, I came out with this. I said, well, look, Dean, I said, excuse me, but which Peter Drucker is this? And he says, there's only one Peter Drucker. So at any rate, my first class, and there was Peter Drucker, this world-famous individual, and he was now my professor. And what I was most amazed about him is the relationship with his students and the fact that he did not like to be called Professor Drucker or Dr. Drucker. He asked to be called Peter. And most of us were able to do this with some difficulty, but eventually it became almost habitual. In fact, it became habitual, and it's hard for me not to call him Peter today. And I was fortunate enough to become very good friends with Peter, and he acted as my mentor both while I was a student and even years later, ongoing, since he was only about 35 miles down the road from where I live. So long story for a very short question, Dave.
No, that's great. How did Peter Drucker become Drucker? I mean, how did he become the world's most famous management consultant?
Well, you know that he wrote 39 books, but lots of us write books, and he coached hundreds of top executives and heads of organizations. But I would say that he did have a secret, or maybe two secrets. A book I wrote some years ago, someone came up with the subtitle, Dare the Impossible and Achieve the Extraordinary. Well, Peter had mastered that absolutely. I mean, he frequently did things that were very, very difficult, and he went on and took on responsibilities that are just amazing. For example, when he graduated from the equivalent of what we would call high school, his father wanted him right away to go to college. And Peter decided that he did not wish to do that, and he started working a full-time apprenticeship. And at the same time that he did this, he not only began reading all kinds of books, novels, and everything else, and he really believed in wide reading, but he also went to night school at the same time, and he got a law degree at the University of Frankfurt. So here he was, far from home. I mean, he was from Austria, from Vienna, or a town close to Vienna, and brand new, just graduated from, as I said, the equivalent of high school. And here he was both working a full-time apprenticeship at a business, reading all kinds of books, and going to night school at the same time. Now, I would say that was secret number one, that he was not afraid to do these things, that he dared the impossible, and he did achieve the extraordinary. The other part of it was his absolutely outstanding time commitment. I mean, he understand the principle of commitment, I would say. In other words, once he committed to something, man, he flat did it. There was no ifs, ands, or buts, and that's either in writing an article or seeing a student or making a recommendation for a student or anything else. And I think this is, although a lot of us do study time management and are aware of the fact that we don't have unlimited time, we frequently let this principle of commitment slip by us. So I would say these two, dare the impossible and maintain your commitment.
Now, the title of your book is The Practical Drucker. Does that mean there's a sequel in the offing, perhaps titled The Impractical Drucker?
Well, I don't know. I guess I could say that about anyone. I mean, Peter was a towering genius, and we were very fortunate to have him in the field of management, and certainly in a century when we live. But I don't think that anyone was perfect, but I don't say he was impractical either. But he was, because he certainly wasn't impractical in what he recommended. But he covered an awful lot of ground, and he tended to write about everything about what to do and less so how to do it. And sometimes this confused people about what he really wanted or what he was suggesting. In fact, one example might be that Peter really predicted that the current financial problems and the situation were in 40 years ago. And he not only did it once, he did it several times. And he said we would pay a terrible price for these two things. Number one, that the executive salaries in this country at the top level were simply way, way, way out of bounds, too much too high, 200 times plus in those days, now 300 times plus, versus the lowest level employee, that is the ratio of what the lowest level is making and the highest level, 300 times that. He said this is very, very bad. And he also said that union demands were getting progressively more difficult, and for no other reason than they felt they were expected to make these demands, and every few years they would make this and negotiate another contract. And on both sides, both labor and management, this was causing terrible damage to our system. And his words were, eventually we will pay a terrible price for that. And that's kind of what's happening right now. That's what to do, but he did not say how to handle this. I mean, if you can imagine, even today, we still have these very high executive salaries, and to a much less, but still a degree, labor is still expected to negotiate for better terms every time that they go in to negotiate a new contract. So he didn't say how to handle these two situations. And this didn't make him impractical, but it did open the kind of thing that I have done with the Practical Drucker. That is, I've tried to take the concepts which he stated in so many different fields of management, and to say, here's how to actually accomplish these goals.
Can you give us a few examples of Drucker's concepts that you explain how to implement in your book?
Sure. You know, Drucker, one of the interesting things about Drucker is that he not only was known as the father of modern management, but Phil Kotler, who's frequently called the father of modern marketing, says, If I'm the father of marketing, then Peter Drucker was a grandfather. And one of the things was that he was one of the first to say that marketing and sales are really not the same. But he went one step further than that. And that is, he said that, you know, not only are marketing and sales not the same, but they may actually be adversarial. In other words, one can hurt the other. Now, that's an extraordinary statement. I mean, if you take Marketing 101 in any textbook taught in any college, you will see that sales is thought of as a subset of marketing. But what he was talking about was that marketing is at a higher level. It's strategy, and that strategy cannot be overcome by good tactics. In fact, just the opposite is true. In other words, if you have the bad strategy, we'll say you're going after the wrong market or you have the wrong product, you can have fantastic salesmen who really, really, really try hard and really work hard, and so they're able to break even or maybe make a little profit. But if you were going after the right market or with the right product, then not only would they have a lot easier job of selling, but in addition to that, they would make a lot of profit. So it's a total misallocation of resources to try to overcome a bad strategy by good tactics. And as Drucker said, marketing and sales can be adversarial. Or if you want another one, participation management is, gee, this has been so popular that nowadays people are even against heroic leadership, which Drucker was not, by the way. He said there's no such thing, for example, as laissez-faire leadership. Someone has to be in charge. And he pointed out that even McGregor's Theory X and Theory Y, which was the first attempts at participative management, in other words, Theory X was a guy just saying what to do, or you have to do this or do that or do something else. And Theory Y was where you asked the troops and you say, what are your ideas, and got their input. But as he pointed out, that is Drucker, McGregor really was not saying that Theory X was gone and dead or that we should always use Theory Y. He pointed out in a lot of situations, Theory X is exactly what was needed. And if you didn't do this, you could get in a lot of trouble with your management and try to reach any goal or any objective. You couldn't do it. And so Drucker, in fact, said that his favorite book, by the way, he said the first systematic book on leadership was written by Xenophon more than 2,000 years ago, and it's still the best. And Xenophon wrote, actually it was General Xenophon, and essentially wrote about battlefield leadership. But it was all about, it was really cutting edge in just a lot of different ways. For example, Drucker pointed out that Xenophon had written, and using Cyrus the Great as a metaphor, actually Cyrus the Great had lived a couple hundred years earlier. He wrote a book called Essentially, which is translated into English, The Education of Cyrus the Great. And he had Cyrus's father saying, as he was bringing up the young Cyrus before he became the great, he said, "What's the best way to lead?" And the young Cyrus said, "You know, you should reward those who do well and punish those who disobey." And Cyrus's father says, "Well, that's going to work in a lot of situations, but if you're talking about leading men into battle, then there's going to be times where the carrot is not going to be good enough, or whatever you're beating the animal with, not worse enough either." And he said, "There's a lot better way to do this." And Xenophon wrote, Cyrus said, "Well, what's the best way?" And he said, "Simply to look out for your men much better than they could look out for themselves." Now, that's servant leadership. It's not 10 or 15 or 20 or 25 years old. It's more than 2,000 years old. In fact, at one point, Drucker pointed out he was asked by a large organization to give a lecture on cutting-edge leadership. And Drucker refused, saying that all you got to do is read Xenophon, written 2,000 years ago. So there are a lot of these situations where there are great concepts, but you have to know how to implement what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. In your opinion, what was the most important thing that Drucker taught?
I think that the most important thing that he taught, or that he said, in fact, he'd say this very much. I don't think I've ever seen this in writing, but he said it a lot in class. He said, "What everyone knows is usually wrong." And that's really an unusual statement, but you can find all kinds of examples. I mean, from people saying that the earth is flat to you name it. I mean, the character of Sherlock Holmes, for example, everybody knows is that the most famous thing that Sherlock Holmes said was, "Elementary, my dear Watson." Yet Sherlock Holmes never said that in any book that Arthur Conan Doyle ever wrote. Never said it, not once. It was the actor Basil Rathbone in the movies of the late 30s and early 40s that actually said these words. So there are a lot of things like this. So therefore, what it means, though, you got to think. In other words, we should think, even though we've been doing something, or maybe it's been done one way for 100 years in our industry, we should think about whether this is the best way or not, or whether there might be a better way. In fact, Drucker wrote that the biggest improvements come from outside a particular industry. It usually comes when someone else comes from that industry from somewhere else, and they bring what to them is a new idea, maybe an old idea in one industry, but in this new industry, it's brand new. And again, it's back to dare the impossible again. Since what everyone knows is usually wrong, we have to think, we want to make improvements, we want to make changes, but dare the impossible. Don't be afraid of what's thought to be impossible. Because, you know, it's always stunning to me when I think about the fact that the Wright brothers, these bicycle guys who had a bicycle shop, they're the guys that invented power flight, first ones to successfully do power flight. Yet they weren't engineers, they weren't scientists, and the government had put a lot of money into trying to develop this before by Langley and others doing powered flight, and they simply weren't able to do it. These two bicycle guys who had no engineering background, no scientific background, they're the ones that pulled it off.
We've been speaking to Dr. William A. Cohen, author of a phenomenal new book entitled The Practical Drucker, published by the AMACOM Division of American Management Association.
We have a special gift for our loyal Edgewise listeners, a free copy of an ebook entitled AMA Business Bootcamp. In it, we have assembled the most critical must-have skills for managers and leaders. To download your copy, simply visit our website, amanet.org/bootcamp. That's amanet.org/BOOTCAMP. This free download will now be available until December 31st, 2013, so get your copy now.
Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.